welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Good evening, everyone. How are you doing? You can be a little bit more happy than that if you like. After 2 hour or muffin, how could you be that subdued for me? That's no fair. Have you enjoyed yourself so far tonight? I've enjoyed myself so far tonight. And the next 10 minutes, the jury's out. But I don't know if you've heard of, the sponsorship deals that go around, but tonight I've been endorsed by Pampers, and I'd like to thank them for the things that... If you didn't get that, don't worry. I'm nervous. That's all I'm saying. What an amazing story. Should we get on with it? What an amazing story. From beginning to end, it is remarkable. The nativity story, that is. It's hard to spot that sometimes, isn't it, in the vanilla version of Christmas that we get served every year. But nothing about the story is normal. And everything about the story is extraordinary. Now, let's think about it. We start our story with an unmarried young lady who's never had a family service. Who's never... My mother-in-law sat over there. Who's never been with a man. And she gets told that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But her response is amazing, because, like, the whole story is amazing. So her response is amazing. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." What an amazing attitude. My life would be different if I talked to God like that. We've just heard the amazing girls from United Records sing "Mary, Did You Know?" Weren't they good?
Yes.
Very good, very good. "Mary, did you know?" And the answer is, no, she hadn't a clue. I mean, she got warned, but I mean, there's being warned and then there's knowing, isn't there? Yeah. Like, how could she have known? It's an impossibly difficult thing for her to grapple with. We're told a couple of times that she thought very deeply about these things. We're told on two occasions that she held these things in her heart. Once when the shepherds came, and then the other time, do you remember when she lost Jesus at the temple about 12 years later? Those two times we get this expression that she held these things in her heart. She thought about her son a lot. It would have been very hard for her to actually know, though, what was actually going on. But let's get back to the story. A new king is born, completely unbeknownst to the reigning king. That's not how things normally work, is it? King Herod didn't know anything about this until the wise men came and asked him where they should go to worship. The God of the universe decides to step into his own creation, and he chooses as his vehicle for doing this a baby. Vulnerable, sharing our weakness. And there's a picture I like to think of when I'm thinking of this. You could take it or leave it, but it helps me. Harry Potter has no clue who J.K. Rowling is, unless she takes the time to write herself into the story so Harry can meet her. Bilbo Baggins hasn't a clue who J.R.R. Tolkien is, unless Tolkien thinks to write hints and tips about who he is into the story. Winnie the Pooh has never met A.A. Milne, unless Milne writes himself into the Hundred Acre Wood. And you or I would never have the chance to meet with God unless God steps into the creation that he himself created as Jesus. The analogy is imperfect, as always, aren't they all? But it helps us to see that in Jesus, we can see God. Because Jesus is, we're told, the image of the invisible God. Now, this isn't a heroic performance piece where, like, a muscle-bound, handsome hero appears on the scene, beats up the bad guy, saves the day, and disappears into the sunset all in an instant. Jesus truly lived amongst us for 33 years. and how he lived. He packed more into that 33 years than most of us could get into 103 years. The coming king appeared not in a palace surrounded by courtiers and servants, but as a baby in a stable with a manger for his bed. I'm tempted to say that this manger is ready-made, therefore it's pret-a-manger. But I wouldn't, because I respect you too much. So this manger was the same one that appeared in our videos that we enjoyed tonight. Did you enjoy the videos? I have to say, how dashing was King Herod? I mean, he stood there with all the problems of the world resting on his shoulders, striking a pose. What a lad. This wonderful, beautiful manger was made by Sainz, who sat at the back there, who normally wastes his time with computers when he is clearly a natural-born carpenter. Come on, Sainz, stop resisting it. The internet's going nowhere. It'll never take off. So the wise men found themselves there because they saw something that literally moved them. The star in the sky compelled them to leave where they were to travel to find out what all the fuss was about. Now, judging from the gifts they brought with them, they were quite wealthy. I mean, gold, frankincense and myrrh don't come cheap. Not when I've looked to get them anyway. They were certainly well-travelled. They were well-educated. They also had influence because they didn't struggle to get an audience with the king, did they? When he asked to see them. But something about what they saw had moved them. Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him, they asked Herod. But the best he could do was give them the name of a town. They left Herod, seeing that this earthly king with his wisest counselors couldn't answer their question, and onwards they pressed to Bethlehem to follow that star again. They were filled with great joy when they found Jesus and the mother, and they gave those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country, but by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Their encounter with Jesus caused them to leave by a different way than they had arrived. It caused them to change their plans. It caused them to stand up a king. Their encounter with Jesus meant that they left changed. And as a result, they changed the way they left. We also saw the video of the shepherds. And they heard an amazing message from the angel. Do not be afraid, he said. I bring you good news, not noise. He wasn't a New York shepherd. I bring you good noise. He said, no, stop it now. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people, especially Pete. Right from the start, it is clear that this good news is for all the people. So many people. All the people. Jesus, you didn't have to be a wise man or a king. You could be a shepherd or a shop assistant too. After seeing Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished, we're told. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and then seen. It was just like the angel had told them. Tonight, we've watched as the shepherds heard the amazing news that caused them to leave their sheep in a hurry and go to the near town of Bethlehem. We've seen the wise men see something that caused them to leave their homeland in search of this newborn king. All of us need direction in our search for meaning. What signposts has God already given you? Maybe it's the words of a Christmas carol, like, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to veil Jesus our Emmanuel. Maybe it's that nagging thought that there's more to life than your next promotion. Maybe it was an invitation to a carol service, like this. Or maybe it's an overweight, balding, bearded guy talking to you, if you've ever heard one of those. What signposts has God already given you? What have you seen or heard that is pointing you towards Jesus? And more importantly, will you follow the evidence wherever it leads? Our wise men did. They found that the wisdom of a king and all his courtiers wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. They wanted to find something, or should I say someone, truly real. Our shepherds did. They found Jesus and went away telling everyone about who they had met. Maybe you feel like our shepherds. Maybe you've heard the good news and seen it to be true for yourself. Will you go back to your families, home and work, and tell everyone you know all about it? Or maybe you feel more like our wise men. Maybe you've seen something and all of the wisdom in the world around you doesn't seem to quite make sense of it. Will you follow the star and find your way to the way in a manger? Jesus isn't asking you to switch off your brain to follow him, despite what Dawkins and Dennett and Hitchens and Harris will try and convince you. The wise men found Jesus because of their study and because they were searching. And because they followed the evidence where it left, they found him. The claims of Jesus are not for the faint-hearted. He does not mess around. He doesn't play some kind of coy version of holy hide-and-seek. Am I God? Am I not God? Oh, I don't know. No, he does not do that. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not merely one good choice amongst many. He says he's the way. Tonight, we're not looking for a way in a manger. We're looking for the way in a manger. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the light of the world. And Psalm 119 tells us that the entrance of his word brings light, and that light is a light for our feet and a lamp for our path. That he brings, he illuminates where we're standing, our circumstances, and where we should go. My prayer for you this Christmas is that you'll find the way in a manger. Jesus, the light of the world, our Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.